Zondervan presents The Gentle Giant of Dynamite Hill, the untold story of Arthur Shores and his family's fight for civil rights by Helen Shores Lee and Barbara Shores with Denise George. Read by Valerie Ross. Forward. They called Stephen Douglas, who famously debated Abraham Lincoln, the Little Giant. But that sobriquet is better suited to Arthur Davis Shores, who stared down Jim Crow segregation in his native Alabama and won a great victory for his nation. His story is at last and lovingly told by his daughters, Helen Shores Lee and Barbara Sylvia Shores. The story they tell is accurate and balanced, but it has the added value of firsthand memory of the man and his times. It is also the story of their mummy, Theodora Helen Warren Shores, his life mate, who endured the bomb blasts and kept her eyes on the prize her husband worked so hard to win. So it is the story of a family that both encouraged and experienced the greatest social transformation in American history. Arthur Shores could be called the Little Giant for the same reason as was Douglas. He was short of stature, but long on accomplishment. He was a handsome man, and, as I once described him, a darker version of Errol Flynn, complete with a pencil mustache. Although he took on the most vexing cases of civil rights in a state determined to maintain white supremacy at any cost, he was forever calm, the eye of the storm of change. In what many called the most segregated state in America, he was the architect of the legal challenge to segregation, from equity pay for teachers, meaning African-American teachers should earn the same as whites, to voting rights, and finally to equal public accommodations. His greatest triumph came with the desegregation of the University of Alabama. On that June day in 1963, Alabama became the last state to maintain a vestige of legal segregation, although it was the first state ordered to desegregate under Brown v. Board of Education. It was Arthur Shores, aided by Thurgood Marshall and Constance Mobley of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, who won the right for Authorine Lucy and her friend Polly Ann Myers to become the first African-American students at the University of Alabama. Although their rights were denied by violence at the university and intransigence by the university's trustees, Shores would ultimately win out when Vivian Malone and James Hood walked past George Wallace at the schoolhouse door. It was Shores' most gratifying victory. But Shores' aim was always to win, not conquer. While he enjoyed watching white lawyers squirm as they tried to fit constitutional equality into the Procrustean bed of racial politics, Shores remained composed. He knew he would win if the law were constitutionally applied, and increasingly it was. Shores could get along with anyone, even George Wallace, the states and the nations' chief champion of segregation. Described in this book is a scene where Wallace, as a judge before becoming governor, invites Shores to have lunch with him in chambers because Jim Crow facilities made it impossible for the Little Giant to eat elsewhere. Shores understood the changeable side of the white South, even of George Wallace. And when it was all over, Wallace spent the rest of his days asking for forgiveness, which black Alabamians gave in full measure, even if they could not forget. Shores would go on in 1968 to become the first black city councilman in the South's most segregated city, Birmingham, thus fulfilling another political dream. He would serve until 1978, when he took a much-deserved retirement from paying civic rent. He would also earn an honorary doctorate from the University of Alabama in 1975. And this writer, in the early 1990s, had the honor of commissioning a portrait of him for the university's main library.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?